Welcome to the Digital Identity Digest, the audio companion to the blog at Spherical Cow Consulting. I'm Heather Flanagan, and every week I break down interesting topics in the field of digital identity, from credentials and standards to browser weirdness and policy twists. If you work with digital identity but don't have time to follow every specification or hype cycle, you're in the right place. Let's get into it. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Digital Identity Digest. Today's episode is called The End of the Global Internet. And this is going to be one of my longer ones because there's a whole lot to unpack here. The global internet, as we once kind of imagined it when we were designing the darn thing, is really changing quite a bit. I mean, I'm not saying it's collapsing overnight, but it is fragmenting. And that fragmentation brings some definite risks and some potentially some unexpected opportunities. So honestly, this whole month is going to be slightly longer episodes as there's a lot to cover here. I do encourage you to check out the written blog posts as well, as there's links to so much material, as a lot of research went into the post this month. So let's get started. Now, many of us grew up believing in, or at least hoping for, a single borderless internet, a vast network of networks that lets us talk, share, learn, and build without arbitrary firewalls getting in our way. Now, I really like that model, probably because I'm a globalist at heart, but I don't think that's where the world is heading. In recent years, we've seen laws, cultures, infrastructure, and power pulling the internet in just completely random different directions, right? The result is an internet that is increasingly fragmented, and this isn't just a theoretical thing. It's shaping how we connect, what tools we use, and who ultimately controls them. So in this episode, what I'm going to talk about is, okay, when I say fragmentation, what does that actually mean? How is it happening in practice? Why does it matter? And importantly, what opportunities might come out of it? Because while my research for the post started very doomy and gloomy, I tried to make myself look for the opportunities that might come with change. Because I'm also a gardener, and I can tell you, even manure is still useful for a gardener. So surely something good can come out of all of this. All right, so first, when I say fragmentation, right, internet fragmentation is not about one giant switch getting flipped and the internet suddenly splitting into pieces. It's a process, and it takes many forms. Researchers usually point to three main dimensions of this, the first one being technical fragmentation, things like national firewalls, alternative DNS systems, or content filtering. Basically, it's when the actual plumbing of the internet starts to diverge. The second dimension is regulatory fragmentation, and that's when governments pass very different laws on data, privacy, or content moderation. So think about like the European Union's General Data Protection Regulation, the GDPR, compared to looser regimes in other parts of the world. But then there's a third dimension, which is commercial fragmentation, when companies cannot or will not offer the same service everywhere, maybe because of local restrictions, maybe because they tailor their products to comply with different rules, who knows, for whatever reasons, there will be stuff that you cannot get, depending on where you are. Now, a UN report puts this pretty simply, right? Fragmentation is already reshaping cybersecurity, trade, and civil liberties. Another study out there shows that governments aren't just fencing off their own citizens. They're using digital policy as a tool of power projection, influencing beyond their borders. There's a link to that report, as well as so many of the other documents I referenced as part of research, available in the written blog. So fragmentation isn't actually just one thing. It's several layers, and together they're adding friction to what used to feel fairly seamless. So how is this actually showing up? Let's look at the evidence of where I actually see this happening. We'll start with regulatory, right? The European Union, China, and the US are increasingly taking very different paths, right? The EU favors heavy regulation and precautionary rules. The US tends towards a we'll call it a lighter touch, though that might be shifting. Interesting question. And China uses regulation as a way to centralize control. Now, for platforms that operate globally, this divergence creates major headaches. But there is also a flip side, right? Strong regulations in one place often set a de facto global baseline. The classic example is it's known as the Brussels effect, where organizations end up complying with EU laws even outside the EU for a variety of reasons. Exhibit A, the GDPR, is essentially set global privacy standards because it was easier for companies to comply everywhere rather than build separate systems. Now, moving on to the technical infrastructure, some governments are in fact building their own DNS systems or routing traffic through national gateways. Others resort to outright shutdowns during protests or elections. That's kind of fragmentation in its rawest form, controlling the basic plumbing of the internet. And again, there's an interesting flip side. In places where shutdowns are common, communities are experimenting with mesh networks, peer-to-peer tools, and decentralized DNS. And these architectures used to be thought of as like fringe ideas, and now they're becoming actual practical tools for internet resilience. One more, let's look at commercial and trade-driven fragmentation. Supply chains are a really interesting component to all this, and a future blog post is going to dive into this a bit more. Export controls, sanctions, and supply shortage means that not everyone has access to the same hardware or cloud services. And diversifying supply chains is really expensive, but it does reduce sort of systemic risk. So think about the semiconductor fab, basically factories being built outside of Taiwan and Korea, or new data centers going up in Africa and Latin America. And in Africa, fintech has been thriving by tailoring services to fragmented conditions, different regulations, different currencies, uneven infrastructure. McKinsey, a global management consulting company, projects that Africa fintech revenues will grow nearly 10% a year through 2028, precisely because the local firms are solving problems. So the commerce is definitely pulling apart. The supply chain, I think, is going to be what prevents it from going too much, but that's a future blog post. We'll talk about that later. Okay, so really, at the end of the day, why should we care? What are the consequences? Well, I have a list. The first is about universality. The power of the internet came from just how ubiquitous it was, or is, as the case may be. Send an email in Boston, and someone in Nairobi is going to be able to read it. Build an app in Lagos, it could scale globally. FaceTime my mother, who's in Chicago, while I'm in Taiwan, no problem. Fragmentation chips away at that, where you can't actually get there from here, digitally speaking. There are security and trust challenges. Fragmentation creates choke points, national gateways that can be abused for surveillance or censorship, and divergent encryption rules can weaken trust in any of the cross-border services. That's not a great thing. There are economic costs, right? Companies who really are trying to account for a global marketplace are going to have to duplicate infrastructure, maintain multiple code bases, and spend more money on compliance, which raises their costs, which tends to then slow down innovation. And there's just the flat-out inequality of it all, right? Regions with less regulatory capacity or infrastructure risk being left behind or forced to adopt whatever systems the larger players impose. I think that's actually happening a lot. Okay, so I promise it's not going to be entirely doomy and gloomy. What are the moderating factors here? It's not all bad news, though it certainly does feel like it at times, especially if you were part of building an internet with a design to be global. Fragmentation isn't absolute, and there are forces that push in other directions, right? So standards bodies, like the Internet Engineering Task Force and the World Wide Web Consortium, do still hold the core of the internet together in terms of the protocols and standards, and they are my people, and I like them very much. Companies, right, they often adopt the strictest regime globally just to simplify operations so that they can still put some time into the innovation, some time and resources into that. Users are a really interesting moderating factor, right, because they still expect things to just work across borders, and they complain when they don't. And regional cooperation, whether it's in the European Union, Asiana or Africa, right, that will actually keep some doors open as the countries will agree to at least cooperate with each other, if not with everybody else. So yeah, the dream of one internet, I think, is fading, but there is still connective tissue that will hold it together. So, all right, this is all very fascinating and possibly coming across as some interesting conspiracy theories. Let's look at some potential scenarios for the future. Where could all of this go? So I've mapped out four different ones that I think could happen, right? They're not really predictions per se, but they're just plausible futures to sort of stress test your assumptions. First, scenario one, I would call soft fragmentation, where the internet remains globally connected, but friction grows. So platforms release region-specific versions and compliance costs rise. The opportunities here, though, is that local ecosystems may get stronger and innovation targeted at regional needs might very well flourish, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Scenario two would be having regulatory blocks. Think of it like digital provinces, groups of countries harmonizing internally, but diverging from each other in some ways. The EU, Asiana, and the African Union already hint at this model. Okay, so what are the opportunities of that? Well, each bloc can specialize, right? The EU might lead in privacy tech, Africa in mobile-first innovation, Asia in, you know, super apps that pull all sorts of interesting things together. Okay, scenario three, the technical fragmentation. Well, that's where you're going to see, if the internet fragments along this path, you're going to see frequent shutdowns, you're going to see divergent encryption standards, national DNS systems, and outages becoming a whole lot more severe. Where could there possibly be opportunities in that? Well, it does, as I mentioned earlier, pushes investment into peer-to-peer, decentralized, and resilient architectures, such that what used to be fringe ideas becomes a really interesting mainstream concept to keep lines of communication open. And scenario four, right, is the pure isolationism. Countries try to go it alone. National chip fabricators, proprietary platforms, self-contained ID systems. I mean, this risks huge efficiencies and, frankly, what I would call authoritarian capture, right, where governments just now control it all. Okay, what could possibly be the opportunities in that one? Well, there's an opportunity to protect local values to an extent. And I think there would be some new niches for region-specific innovation. I don't necessarily know what that would look like, but if you're trapped in a small box instead of being able to play in a big box, you're going to learn, well, all right, what does it mean to actually become efficient in a small apartment? Maybe it will look like that. I don't know. Okay, so what can we do, right? Individual, where we are the individuals, where we are companies, where we are policymakers. What can we do in the face of all of this? Well, for one thing, we can advocate for interoperable baselines, if nothing else. If everything else diverges, keep the plumbing compatible, the encryption, the addressing, the data portability, right? We can design for variation, build systems that can degrade gracefully or adapt to different regulatory regimes, right? If you're just making sure that the plumbing is open, don't put a lot more into it such that different regions can create a profile specifically for them and have that work. We can absolutely invest in that local capability, the local infrastructure skills and developer economies. Don't just import, build locally where you can. You can't do it everywhere because resources aren't evenly distributed around the world. So you're going to have to import some things, but where you can invest in local capability, do so. That said, you know, maybe you aren't into a global marketplace, but you can encourage regional cooperation. Treaties and data agreements within blocks can ease at least some friction and spread innovation that way. But wait, there's more, right? You can experiment with alternative architectures. You can look at the mesh networks, the decentralized routing, the peer-to-peer distribution, the individual identity components that people control and could then, you know, use at their own desires. Raising awareness, if this is even a possibility, if this is where things can go, public engagement matters. The more people that understand the risks of fragmentation, the more that they can push back against that overreach. Maybe it's not all bad, but we probably don't want the pure isolationism scenario that I described earlier. And last but definitely not least, however this goes, however the internet will fragment or is fragmenting, anchor the changes in human rights. Fragmentation is not just an engineering problem, right? We need to remember the basics of an ethical society, protecting human rights, aligning with the UN Sustainable Development Goals, supporting the Global Digital Compact. I mean, that way, even in a fragmented world, people, not just states or companies, can remain at the center of what we do. All right, so the global internet, that may be ending, I think it is, but it isn't necessarily a complete tragedy, right? Fragmentation brings friction, risks, and costs. It threatens universality, trust, and equality, but it also forces us to rethink, to innovate differently, and to build some level of resilience. In Africa, fintech thrives, not despite fragmentation, but possibly because of it. In Europe, strong privacy laws raise the floor for everybody in terms of what we've come to expect. In Asia, the regional trade frameworks are showing how blocs can cooperate while still diverging. The question isn't really whether fragmentation is coming, because it's already here. The question is, what kind of fragmented internet do we want to build? So I'll leave you with this, right? If the internet becomes a patchwork, what bridges are worth preserving? What minimums, whether technical, ethical, or social, should always cross the border? Those questions are literally what started this entire blog thread, so I hope you consider them as well. So thanks for listening to the Digital Identity Digest. If you found it useful, you know what to do. Subscribe to the blog or the podcast for more scenario guides, monthly updates on digital identity standards of the shifting internet, and share it with others. Thanks so much for your time today. And that's it for this week's episode of the Digital Identity Digest. If it helps make things a little clearer, or at least a little more interesting, share it with a friend or colleague and connect with me on LinkedIn at HL Flanagan. And if you enjoyed the show, do be sure to subscribe and leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find the written full post at sphericalcowconsulting.com. Now stay curious, stay engaged, and let's get these conversations going.